Mr. Jones, will you lead us in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, do we have all members present, one telephonically?
Yes, Ms. Gladyszewski is on the telephone.
Thank you. There are no special orders of business. Approval of the minutes, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do not find any errors in the minutes. Thank you. I move that they be accepted as presented.
December 18th and December 28th?
Yes. Thank you, both of them.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Minutes are approved. Manager's request for agenda changes.
I have one change, Mr. Mayor, and that would be on the consent agenda under ordinances for introduction, letter C, ordinance 2018-01, ordinance amending airport operations code relating to parking. I'd like to amend my manager's report that we refer this to the Committee of the Whole on March 7th when we have the joint meeting with the Airport Board and set for public hearing at the following assembly meeting, which is April 2nd. Thank you.
Thank you. Public participation on non-agenda items. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 people signed up on non-agenda items. And Madam Clerk, would you set the timer for 3 minutes? Mm-hmm. When you come up, will you please proceed your remarks by stating your name and your place of residence. Rick Bonick. Rich, excuse me.
My name is Rich Boniak. I live at 1900 Fritz Cove Road. And I'm here tonight as a parent of a son who served 2 combat tours in Iraq. And I'd like to request that the Assembly support U.S. Senate Resolution 361, which Senator Dan Sullivan is the co-sponsor of, and he's also a veteran. In paragraphs 5 and 6, the Senate, quote, asserts that Congress is unified in its condemnation of North Korea's dangerous pursuit of nuclear weapons and Congress should be appropriately consulted prior to any use of military force. And the Senate asserts or recognizes that Congress possesses the authority under Article 1 of the Constitution of the United States to declare war and affirms that the authorization of Congress is needed prior to any preemptive or preventative ground war on the North Korean Peninsula initiated by the United States forces. This shouldn't be a, and there shouldn't be any need for a resolution like this because it is in the Constitution, but that we have U.S. senators putting a resolution forward is because we've had 20-plus years of Congress abdicating its responsibility under the Constitution. So since our senator from Alaska is a co-sponsor of this, I would like the Assembly to render support to him to see that this is debated and approved by the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Mr. Ned Purvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Moniak, did you say 261 or 361?
361.
Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Thank Davis.
Hi, I'm Steve Davis from 1011 Ski Street, Juneau. And I would just like to reiterate what Rich just said there. We may not think of this resolution as a local issue, but it is a local issue. We've had our guardsmen federalized several times to go to Iraq and these different places, and we are just having the Constitution, as it has stated in Article 1, that it is the responsibility of the Congress of the United States, to declare wars, and we are just doing these continuing resolutions. Yeah, and It is a local issue in the fact that we were spending lots and lots of money in these different areas that could be better spent here at home for schools, hospitals, and transportation. So thank you for listening to me, and I would like to have you support that resolution by Senator Sullivan. And I think it was a courageous act by the senator to do this. They're finally trying to assert the rightful authority of the Congress to make war. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Were there any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Quayle.
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby, number 305. This is about the because of the construction of the whale, there's a need for, with the existing regulation, we have to go across Eden Drive to get to it. And we like to be across at the light this summer. And it's very important because I'm going to be taking quite a few people over there. They spent how much? $1 million? To make the whale, and I'm going to get it so the passengers can see the go to the boardwalk. Another subject: the Korean War was never had a peace treaty, so we've been at war with them anyhow. So I mean, until they have a peace treaty and we decide to have Congress declare war, then it might be a situation where if there is a situation where we're attacked, Congress can just make sure that do their thing. Anyhow, I would appreciate that we get off and make sure we get that changed about the regulation, because it's something that because they made the construction, it caused the regulation to be have to be worked on. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Quayle.
Thank you.
Tony Newman.
Hi, my name is Tony Newman. I live at 308 Distant Avenue here in Juneau. A little over 20 years ago, a group of parents in Juneau came together to start dreaming about what an education system could be for their children here. And the fruit of their labor turned into the Juneau Community Charter School, which since 1997 has been offering an educational alternative right here in the heart of downtown. 20 years ago. And the charter school has changed much since its original enrollment of about 30 kids in a few grades, but it now serves over 100 kids in 9 grades and continues to emphasize a constructivist philosophy, social-emotional growth, heavy parent participation, and a focus on art, learning through community resource, and being a community resource. So this Saturday, the school will be hosting a reunion in celebration of 20 years of teaching and learning and growing. Saturday, 6 to 9 p.m. at the Juneau Douglas High School Commons. There'll be dinner, remembrances, songs. The folks at Mari Soul, which is that great new Mexican taco truck outside the Foodland Center, is going to be helping us put on dinner, so we're grateful to them. I wanted to let you know, assembly members, that you're welcome. And if there are any former families, parents, kids, teachers, staff of any kind out there who have somehow eluded our emails and our invitations to please come, I would just like to put the word out that we'd love to have you join us, and that I would encourage you to check the charter school's Facebook page, where there's a little bit more information about the event, and you can sign up there. So thank you for letting me get that word out.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. Would you repeat those hours again?
6 to 9 p.m. at the Juneau Douglas High School Commons this Saturday, the 13th.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes this portion of public participation. There is another part of the agenda where public participation is returned to. brings us to the consent agenda. Is there any public request for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Seeing none, is there any assembly request for consent agenda changes? Seeing none, hearing none from Ms. Kladyszewski. Mr. Mankiewicz.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of the consent agenda as presented, with the exception, or with the minor change, including the minor change to Ordinance 2018-01, where the manager recommend this ordinance be referred to the Committee of the Whole on March 7th, and then public hearing back before the Assembly on April 2nd. I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, the motion carries. Brings us to Section 8, Public Hearing, Ordinance 2017-06. Madam Clerk.
This is an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $250,000 as funding for the manager's office operating budget, funding provided by the sales tax fund's fund balance.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $250,000 of unrestricted sales tax revenue. The CBJ strongly supports and welcomes cruise ship tourism and will continue to work cooperatively with the industry to address impacts caused by the visitation of approximately 1 million visitors to the CBJ per year. At the same time, the CBJ must defend its marine passenger and port development fees against the constitutional challenges raised by the industry and the litigation brought by the Cruise Line International Association, CLIA. These funds would be appropriated in fiscal year 18 as a reserve to be used by the city attorney at the direction of the Assembly to defend the ongoing litigation by CLIA. The Assembly Finance Committee took up this matter at its meeting on December 13, 2017. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, I will bring that back to the Assembly for a motion. Mr. Edwardson.
I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-6X, and I recommend unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the motion is carried. Ordinance 2017-06Y.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $400,000 to begin replacement of the Meyer Drive Force Main Emergency Repair Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by an insurance settlement from Lexington Insurance Company.
Mr. Manager.
The CBJ has received initial funding from our insurance company for $400,000 to begin the replacement of the failed Meyer Drive sewer force main. These funds need to be appropriated into a capital improvement project in order to spend them. The funds will be appropriated into the existing CIP created to begin the planning and design work for the force main repair. The Public Works and Facilities Committee approved this action at its November 20th, 2017 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-06Y and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the motion is carried. Ordinance 2017-29.
An ordinance amending the land use code relating to development in the vicinity of Eagle's Nest and Eagle Habitat.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend CBJ Title 49 to delete the prohibitions of development near Eagle Nests and Eagle Habitat. Existing CBJ code prohibits development within 330 feet of eagle nests on public land and within 50 feet of eagle nests on private land during the nesting period. This ordinance would remove those development prohibitions. The existing CBJ code related to eagles is difficult to enforce and is unnecessary. CBJ does not have an inventory of eagles' nests, nor the capability to determine if a nest is in use or will be used in the future. Although the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service provided this information to the CBJ in the past, the USFWS has not had the personnel to make those determinations for many years. This ordinance is anticipated to reduce costs of development near eagle nests and habitat without any adverse impact on eagles because the eagle population in Juneau is healthy. CBJ staff has consulted with the USFWS. The Planning Commission recommends the Assembly adopt this ordinance. The Lands Committee reviewed this ordinance at its meeting on November 20th, 2017, and unanimously moved that it go before the full Assembly. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there any public comment? I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Weldon.
I move that we adopt Ordinance 2017-29 and ask for unanimous consent.
Okay. Mr. Keel and then Mr. Jones. Mr. Keel, would you like to speak to your objection?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is an issue that came up several years ago. And the argument then is essentially the argument now. That this is not an easy thing for the city to enforce. That doesn't change its value and doesn't make it something we ought to just get rid of. I think that removing the additional city-level protections for bald eagle nests is a poor idea. It's a poor idea for the eagles, and more importantly, economically, it's a poor idea for Juneau's tourism economy. We do have a healthy population of bald eagles in the area. The notion that removing their reproductive habitat more easily will not impact that ignores and gets wrong how reproductive habitat works, especially with something like a bald eagle, which uses the same nests and the same trees over and over and over again. In fact, they're highly, what's the term, philopatric, right? They tend to return to the same nest sites. They like a certain place. And when you have nest trees that get used year after year after year by the same nesting pairs and then often adopted by others, those removals have an outsized impact on the population. It's not the same as bumping a deer out of an area it'll just come back to. They choose specific nest trees and they build these nests to get used for decades. So the habitat impacts are really outsized with a creature like a bald eagle. I don't suggest for an instant that we're going to put them on the threatened list somehow with this ordinance, but it really, really runs at odds with Juneau's brand and with Juneau's tourism economy, which we were just talking about, two ordinances ago. We all trumpeted and were very pleased when Oprah Winfrey came through town on a cruise, and so was she. Her video of an eagle here in Juneau was viewed by, I think, 800,000 people. In her magazine, which has a circulation of 2.4 million, more than two-thirds of those by subscription, by the way, which is uncommonly high, she particularly trumpeted, with regard to her Juneau visit, getting to see the bald eagles. So for us to make it easier to cut down eagle nest trees here in town with the associated impact on seeing bald eagles is foolish and runs counter to Juneau's healthy tourism economy in the long term. So I object to repealing this. I think that the status quo, which allows for variances, and the Planning Commission has done well reviewing those, works well. And allows for responsible development in town when you've got the biologists who can talk about that particular nest and its impact. But just removing our local rules doesn't make sense.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Jones?
Mr. Keel covered all of my issues.
Okay. Anyone else that would like to speak to this? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I appreciate the concerns expressed by my fellow assembly member. What I would like to point out for folks is recently DOT out in the valley at 7 Mile topped some of the trees by their building where the ferry terminal office is there. Not sure why they topped them. Don't have that background information, but they topped them a few years ago, and the eagles have moved in to the top of that tree, which is closer than our current ordinance would allow. So I think if you want to look at eagles, they're still around, and in fact, they are taking advantage of some of the activity that our community is engaged in, and I will support this motion and this ordinance. Thank you.
Further discussion? The motion has been made, and there is objection. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries 5A, 4A.
Ordinance 2017-34. Madam Clerk.
This is an ordinance amending the comprehensive plan by adopting the Lemon Creek Area Plan.
Mr. Manager.
The Lemon Creek Area Plan was reviewed by the Assembly Committee of the Whole at its November 20 and December 4, 2017 meetings. At the latter meeting, the Committee of the Whole voted to send the plan as amended to the full Assembly for adoption as an addendum to the comprehensive plan. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-34, and I would ask for unanimous consent, along with my thanks to the citizens that participated and the CDD staff that put this together.
All right. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, Ordinance 2017-34 has been adopted. Ordinance 2017-36, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the City and Borough Code relating to criminal offenses and penalties.
Mr. Manager.
State law requires that if a municipality prescribes a penalty for a violation of a municipal ordinance and there is a comparable state crime under either Alaska Statute 11, the state's criminal code, or Alaska Statute 28, motor vehicle and driving offenses, with elements that are similar to the municipal ordinance, the municipality may not impose a greater punishment than that imposed for a violation of the state crime. This provision applies to all municipalities, including home rule. This ordinance would amend CBJ code to make it consistent with state law, including changes required by SB 54. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public who wishes to testify? Bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adopt Ordinance 2017-36 and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, Ordinance 2017-36 has been adopted. Mr. Manager, unfinished business.
I have no unfinished business.
New business, liquor license 2533.
This is the liquor license for Jack and Arlene Tripp, doing business as Viking Restaurant and Lounge.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I would request that the chair of the HRC committee report if there was action tonight at its meeting at 6 p.m. On this topic.
Okay. Ms. Bladyshevsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Keel served as the chair for this this evening, so he's prepared to relay what happened.
Thank you, Ms. Bladyshevsky. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee received an update from staff, and the issues that led to the initial recommendation for a mid-cycle protest remain. That, therefore, the Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly protest, issue a mid-cycle protest of this liquor license, Jack and Arlene Tripp doing business as Viking Restaurant and Lounge for three reasons: unpaid sales taxes, unfiled sales tax returns, and unpaid utility bills. And so that is the motion of the Human Resources Committee tonight.
All right. Is there objection to that motion? Seeing and hearing none, the motion is carried. Eagle Valley. Madam Clerk.
The topic is Eagle Valley Center Ropes Course Lease.
Mr. Manager.
Southeast Alaska Independent Living, or SALE, has applied to lease the ropes course at the Eagle Valley Center. This facility is located at 24600 Amalga Harbor Road and is managed by the CBJ Parks and Recreation Department. SALE plans to maintain and upgrade the course to make it more accessible for people with mobility restrictions. Since the ropes course was not advertised for general leasing, as stipulated in CBJ 5309260, negotiated sales, leases, and exchanges, the Assembly needs to determine if SALE's proposed lease should proceed by direct negotiation or if parks should invite other groups to submit proposals to lease the facility. No competing inquiries have been received at this time. Completing this lease will make SALE eligible for additional grant funding that will help support its mission. I recommend that the Assembly adopt a motion authorizing the City Manager to commence lease negotiations with Southeast Alaska Independent Living to lease the Eagle Valley Center Ropes Course.
Okay, Mr. Knutson Lombardo.
My name is Tristan Knutson Lombardo. I live at 227 Harris Street here in Juneau. I'm also the assistant director at SALE, and we've been working with the Parks and Recreation Department for the last, more than a year, on the ropes course, the challenge course out at Eagle Valley Center. And I really just want to share our excitement about the project. We really, our goal is really just to open it back up to the community, run it as it was run before, similar to when Saga was running it. And we see it as a win-win-win, both for the community, for the city, for SALE. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to answer any questions you may have and again, express our enthusiasm. I also just want to do a quick shout-out to the Parks and Recreation staff, including Christy West and Kirk Duncan. They have done an amazing job with the lodge out there. So those who haven't been out there in a while, they've really done some amazing things out there. And it's I know it's a lot of people refer to it as our crown jewel in our community, and we want to be a part of that. So,
thank you. Thanks. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to testify? Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As a board member for Southeast Alaska Independent Living, I must abstain from this conversation due to a conflict of interest.
Is that right?
Phil's a nonprofit board. If Phil's a nonprofit board and you're simply a board member, I don't think you need to abstain.
Oh.
Never. We like you around here.
All right.
Ms. Becker, would you move this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we authorize the city manager to commence lease negotiations with sale to lease Eagle Valley Center Ropes Course, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the motion carried. Staff reports, Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to bring Mr. Chambor up to give a report updating on the cold weather emergency shelter activities and two other topics I think he's going to give you an update on. Sure.
Good evening. Hi, everyone. Three quick updates. One is the CBJ cold weather emergency shelter. As you all are aware, the Assembly appropriated $75,000 in funds to open a cold weather shelter on nights that temperatures dip below 32 degrees. Just to be really clear, the opening of the shelter is 11:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m., really with the goal of being just an emergency place for people to sleep and crash. There's no other services being provided. It's really kind of a avenue of last resort. So we got the shelter up and running December 1st. It's been open 17 nights in December. 309 people have used the facility at that time at an average of about 18 people per night. So good work for the city and community of Juneau to be able to get that up and operating and to help those people out at that time. And if there's any questions about the shelter, I can take that before I go on to the next.
Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Chambor, how many volunteers have there been?
So we have contract with Glory Hole and Aware to provide support staff with the goal of having two people on site every evening. Since this is a new project and it's any new project, it's difficult getting your staffing in place. But the Glory Hole has been able to find an employee who has pretty much worked all the nights and is kind of a mainstay for the program. And then other folks from Aware and Glory Hole have filled in. It was tough for that initial stretch of 12 nights when it was super cold over the holidays, but they do have three or four people that have been trained up and about to come on board to help January 9th. So the staffing issues will be alleviated for the rest of the winter.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Dan Kermis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have one more question. I don't remember if this information came from you or the manager where this came from, but my understanding is that on at least one of the nights that we've had the warming shelter open, we have, what I'll say, caught all the people that have been out sleeping in doorways and stuff, and that the police went around town and found zero people, and or they had said we'd caught them. Could you brief me if my information is correct? Or if
sure. One of the components of the program is that we do have JPD come by in the mornings to help with wake-up. And so one of the mornings, was early mornings when I was there as well, one of the comments from our downtown police officer was like, wow, this is great service for the community because these are the typical folks that I see on my commute around downtown every morning. So that was the comment.
Thank you.
Okay. Next topic is January is a big month. The annual point-in-time homeless count takes place all across the nation during the last week of January, and this is a one-night snapshot for communities to get a sense of who's experiencing homelessness in their community. The date for us in our community is January 24th, and if you recall, our 2017 numbers showed that we had 215 people last year experiencing homelessness. There were 156 individuals who were in emergency shelter or in transitional housing at that time, and then 59 individuals who were unsheltered. And so that 59 number is a huge number for a community of this size to be living either outside on the streets or in a car or some sort of other precarious situation. So it'll be really interesting. interesting to see this time around, you know, how we've done as a community since we've added a lot of resources. There's been some additional vouchers put into place. Housing First, Permanent Supportive Housing for the Chronically Homeless is online, and we have the winter shelter option. So I think if we do our due diligence and the outcomes are that our unsheltered number is much lower than last year, I think as a community we can probably slap our, or not slap, but pat ourselves on the back. And, you know, we'll feel good about each other. So anyway, we'll see. Part of the point in time count that this community has put into place to help make sure that we are capturing and engaging with people experiencing homelessness on that day is Project Homeless Connect. And you've probably seen the flyers around town already. This is the seventh Project Homeless Connect, and that is held in the Juneau Arts and Culture Center, and it's multifaceted. One, it's to do the surveys for folks coming in to be a part of the count, but on the other hand, they get to have all kinds of services that have been arranged for them that day in order to help them engage with things that they may not be have access to routinely. So haircuts, birth certificates and IDs, transportation opportunities, food, opportunities to talk to legal services, a lot of affordable housing providers are in town, and it's a really, really good event. The Juneau Homeless Coalition has organized this primarily through Sherry and Tamara out at the Gurney Park Apartments, and it kind of runs like clockwork. We kind of have things down. Everybody's kind of got a role, and looking forward to doing it again.
Mr. Jones?
Thank you. You said last year's count was 156 in emergency shelters?
And transitional housing.
And transitional housing. And then 59 were unsheltered.
Yep.
So would persons at Housing First be in either one of those two categories, or is that considered permanent housing for them?
Yeah, so they'll be permanently housed. So we're
they should not show up in this count.
Yeah, we're hoping that that's the intention, is to those people aren't captured at all. They may end up, you know, coming down and utilizing the services of Project Homeless Connect, but as part of the data piece, folks who are permanently housed with an address, they're weeded out of the final number.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Another kind of outcome from the Homeless Task Force was the idea of applying to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority for a housing and homeless coordinator position. We put the position out in November and had about five applications, so we decided to turn around and try and recruit a little bit longer, so we did it through the holidays. On my desk, I have 24 applications now that I'm trying to work through, and really excited about the caliber of applicants for the position, and hope to start getting through an interview process here this week, early next week, and getting another staffer on board to help. Ideally, we'd like to have that person at least, you know, participate during the Project Homes Connect, because that really is the a great training tool, and it, when all of the providers are in the same room and can meet new staff. And then the last announcement is the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority have their annual meeting that they hold in Juneau on January 24th and 25th. So if there are any topics that need to become in front of the trust, they'll be in town. They've contacted me already about taking a tour of the emergency shelter, as well as Housing First and potentially the Project Homeless Connect, since it fits on that day.
Excellent. Any questions, comments, Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is that going to coincide with the point in time?
The Mental Health Trust Authority meetings? Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Shambora?
I'm just going to slap myself on the back.
Well,
and get on out of here.
You can slap yourself all the back on your back, because I think you've made huge progress, or the city has made huge
progress.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Manager.
That concludes our staff reports. Thank you.
Mayor's report. The letter on transboundary issue was written and sent, and hopefully you've received a copy by, via email as Assembly. And if anybody else wants to see it, it's in the manager's office, or it can be sent via email through the manager's office. There was a letter written to the federal delegation concerning NOAA, who had two current Juneau jobs that are going to be vacated, advertised in Juneau and in Seattle. There was a very quick response from the federal delegation and a response, especially from Sullivan's office, to the Secretary of Commerce asking what could be done to rectify this and just basically seeking more information. The four goals from the Assembly that were added for 2018, the COP plan, the $22 million for transportation for Northern Lynn Canal, the City Hall, and the emergency staffing for public safety. All those, I've talked to the manager and the deputy manager and the attorney and asked if they could have those brought back at our January 22nd meeting, I believe. Is it 22nd?
22nd.
As to how we will begin trying to affect those and finish them, or at least work on them. There are the Mayor's Task Force on Public Safety and the Mayor's Task Force on Mining have met, and as we go through the staff reports, I would like to ask each of those particular chairs to give a small report on where they are on each one of them. I would like to go into presiding officers really quickly so we can get that taken care of. Mr. Jones, is there anything on?
No, there was a joint stipulation of the issues and an amending of the record while I was gone. It was a joint, so I signed the order accepting that this last week. We're still scheduled for hearing before the Assembly on the 5th of March.
Okay. And Madam Attorney.
There are three appeals pending in front of the Office of Administrative Hearings, Sealed Trust, and then the two Granite Mountain appeals. The Sealed Trust case is in its briefing stage. Opening brief has been filed, opposition brief filed. The reply brief is due on January 22nd. Oral argument has not been scheduled yet. Granite Mountain 1, there's a preliminary issue being litigated regarding Granite Mountain's motion to supplement the record with witness testimony. The commission's opposition to that is due January 19th. Again, no oral argument hearing has been set yet. Granite Mountain 2, the same hearing officer presiding over Granite Mountain 1 has been assigned to Granite Mountain 2. The preliminary scheduling conference was just held. The record is currently being prepared. The parties are to file their joint stipulation of issues on appeal by February 23rd. No hearing date has been set yet.
Okay. Any questions? That brings us back to the agenda on committee reports. Liaison reports, Assembly comments and questions. Mr. Edwardson.
I have nothing to report, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Eagle Crest Board met on January 4th for their regularly scheduled meeting. The Trails Committee conducted a physical and visual inspection of the upper cross-country ski loop, which is likely to become the new site of the rental cabin that has been in the works. There will be an Eagle Crest Trails Committee meeting on January 19th at 5:30 p.m. in room 224 at City Hall if anyone is interested in learning more about this project. At this meeting, they also plan to discuss the estimated cost. Discussion will also entail how they will determine what the size of the fundraising campaign should be for this new cabin. As you know, Eagle Crest has been facing a rough weather streak this ski season. However, there are still lots of kids coming out to ride the Porcupine Lift. Staff reported a successful holiday camp series. Eagle Crest is currently recruiting for a lift maintenance and operations manager. The initial job announcement period closed last Friday, January the 5th. lift mechanics is a hard role to fill, and a lift mechanic is critical to keeping things going up at Eagle Crest. Hopefully we have a few strong applicants to choose from. As you may have read, the crew will be scaling back mountain operations to weekends only during this low snow period. This means that as of right now, given the amount of snow on the mountain, only the Porcupine lift will be operating. By scaling back, Eagle Crest will be able to reduce costs, yet keep employees working until we get more snow. Please do your snow dance. On January 15th, Eagle Crest is offering to bring a friend for free day. This has been scheduled well in advance. They will more than likely reschedule for a snowier day. If you do show up, all you have to do is bring your 2017-18 season pass to the ticket window, and you will receive one free lift ticket for a friend. On January 20th, there will be a Learn to Adapt with SAIL and ORCA event. If you know of anybody who might be interested in this opportunity, please contact SAIL or the staff at Eagle Crest to learn more. On January 21, there will be a World Snow Day special. Last year, Mr. Nan Curvis and I attended this event, which had a great turnout. This year, they're offering a package deal, $44, and customers will receive a two-hour group lesson, which also includes equipment rental and a Porcupine lift ticket for the day. The new ski area manager, Dave Scanlon, has been working with the Fieldhouse Board of Directors to develop a new rate structure and to develop a balanced budget going into the new year. This may result in increased rates for the use of the field house. The Eagle Crest Board amended their bylaws recently to reflect changes that were approved back in 2013. These changes pertain to committee work. The changes were approved in 2013, but for whatever reason, the bylaws were never updated, so that has happened. Work continues regarding beer and wine sales, and on Thursday, January the 25th, there will be a budget meeting to review the fiscal year 19 budget. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee met on Tuesday, January 2nd. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend due to a prior commitment. On the agenda, they were going to discuss the master plan update, the project playground update, the Eagle Valley Center sale contract, which we heard about today, as well as the Aquatics Board sunset discussion. I will bring information back for our next meeting on what else was discussed at that meeting. The Assembly Mining Committee subcommittee met on Wednesday, January the 3rd. This was the first meeting for the committee. The committee discussed what is covered under a conditional use permit. A future schedule of meetings will be posted soon for everybody to review. The committee plans to meet with Bob Loeffler, the author of the Jade North Report, in the near future, as well as Mr. Jim Clark and Guy Archibald, who provided comments on the report. That concludes my report.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Weldon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Aquatics Board met on January 5th, and they're still ferreting out the details of their list of options they are putting forth when their sunset date occurs, and they also continue to pursue methods to enhance revenue. The Planning Commission has not had a meeting since our last meeting, and their next meeting is January 23rd at 7 p.m. here. And that's the end of my report.
Ms. Bartoszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Affordable Housing Commission met on January 2nd. We all in the Finance Committee this Wednesday will be hearing about their recommendations regarding the Juno Affordable Housing Fund, including recommendations regarding the accessory apartment program and community land trusts, downtown upstairs program. So we'll all hear about that on Wednesday. Their next meeting is February 6th. The Bartlett Regional Hospital Board, met on December 21st, had a brief meeting and heard basically committee reports. And just to illustrate the complexity of funding and the running of such a facility, I wanted to mention that the hospitalist program, which the hospital itself is and the staff are quite happy with, the program itself has resulted in an improved documentation of cases and resulting from the ability of the hospital to retain more complex patients, which resulted in their case mix index increasing from 1.1 to 1.4. What that means, it generated additional about $500,000 from the rural demonstration project. All of that funding and programming is quite complicated, and that's just one illustration. So that was the 21st, and their next meeting is January 23rd. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bartoszewski. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met today at noon. We had the 1% sales tax spending plan brought back to us. There were comments from members of the committee about changes that they would like to have the public works staff review. But the bottom line was that we asked them to take a look at those comments, but then we forwarded the spending plan as it may be amended back to the finance committee. We also had an information items or items about electric vehicles. We talked about the ordinance, but there was no action taken on the permit issue. We got an update on transit operations and an update on the Wash Bay. There were informational items, and I'm sure that more will be coming back before the assembly soon. I was gone most of December. The DBA met on the 12th, and I was not able to attend in December. The Downtown Business Association is meeting tomorrow morning, 8:30 to 10:30. I will not be there due to a prior commitment. School district met on December 12th. I did not attend. I've tried to read their minutes. Wasn't easy since they bury it in their consent agenda. They are meeting tomorrow, January 9th at 6 o'clock for the regular meeting. They're meeting at 4:30 on a work session with the university. I will certainly be there. As far as comments and questions, again, I'd just like to compliment the citizens that participated in the Lemon Creek Area Plan and the staff that worked through that. I can't say enough about how surprisingly well they worked through some really hard problems out there when they talked about it. And attending a lot of their meetings, I was just very impressed. The 24th, 25th is going to be a rather busy time in January. If the Mental Health Trust authorities here, we're doing the homeless point and count. On the 23rd is the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, and on the 24th, 25th, 26th will be the Marijuana Control Board. And they're both meeting here in Juneau at the same time as the Mental Health Trust and the homeless count. And so all we need to do is get a count on opiates, and we're in like Flint. I appreciated reading a lot of the minutes of some of the meetings while I was gone, and glad to see you guys didn't do anything crazy. Thank you.
We had to contain ourselves. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me start with I was honored to hold the gavel at Human Resources Committee for Ms. Gladyszewski this evening. The Assembly already took up the liquor license issue. The Human Resources Committee also recommended reappointment of Susan Murray to the environmental seat on the Juneau Economic Development Council Board of Directors for a term ending November of 2020.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, the appointment's confirmed.
We also heard an annual report from the Local Emergency Preparedness Committee, which has been hard at work. It is a remarkable committee that looks at a remarkable range of issues and has tremendous participation. I think their average meeting attendance is higher than ours, Mr. Mayor. I'm not sure what that says. Perhaps just that we're not a disaster yet.
Okay.
The Human Resources Committee, in working with the clerk's office, the clerk's office is building a new board management software, and so I have a slightly unusual motion from the Human Resources Committee this evening. We ask that the Assembly reconfirm the current appointments and terms of all the sitting members on the LEPC, with the exception that seat two, the public safety seat, Chief Mercer has resigned, and the HRC recommends he be replaced with Lieutenant Scott Erickson for a term ending December of 2020.
Everyone's heard that motion, nomination. Is there objection? Nomination is carried.
Thank you. That concludes the report from the Human Resources Committee. I can be much quicker about finance. We haven't met since the last assembly meeting, but we're up on Wednesday. You should all have a packet. If you haven't received it already, it's here on your desk. There are a lot of presentation slides in it. It's not as thick as it feels. Let's see. That concludes committee reports from me. The University of Alaska Southeast Juneau Campus Advisory Council met today at noon. They are working hard with the statewide university effort on post-secondary credentials. The goal is 65% of Alaskans having some sort of post-secondary credential, whether it be a four-year degree, a two-year degree, a certificate, whatever is appropriate to their line of work by the year 2025. It sounds achievable, but if every single high school graduate between now and then got some sort of post-secondary certificate, degree, et cetera, we'd only be to 50%. So it's going to take a lot of work, but that's what the workforce projections suggest we're going to need. A couple of other keynotes from the Campus Advisory Council meeting today. One of the flagship programs and one of the highly successful programs is the PETAS program, Preparing Indigenous Teachers and Administrators for Alaska's Schools. UAS's program was not successful in winning a grant that they have used for many years to help fund that program this year. They are actively working to reallocate funding from other things. It is a program that the UAS considers to be vital and that they will be continuing at some cost as they continue to seek out other funding sources. But right now that they have prioritized that above some other things. Recruitment is still open for the Dean of the Alaska College of Education at the University of Alaska Southeast. The College of Arts and Sciences has received 46 applications for their dean. That recruitment is closed, but interest is strong, and so that's very promising. The other major issue facing the University of Alaska Southeast over the next, realistically, 2 years is that it's time for accreditation. Normally that would have been up last year and this year, but since the Northwest Council changed a number of their standards, they pushed the schedule a year. But you will probably hear a lot more updates on the accreditation process, which is vitally important to any institution of higher education, at least if you want a single nickel from the feds or any of your students want federal student aid. So that one matters. Prospects look good, but it's a very time-consuming process to make sure that the university retains the high quality for which it's become known. That concludes the liaison reports from me. We received under public testimony and non-agenda items tonight two requests that the assembly weigh in on a federal resolution. And I would ask, Mr. Mayor, that we have staff bring us a copy of that so that we can take a look and decide as a group whether that's something that we want to get the assembly behind.
Is there any objection?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Becker.
I'll try to speak up.
Yep.
Thank you. I met with the Alaska Committee, and we are going to have our annual meeting on the 20th of this month. The legislative reception is the 17th of this month between 5 and 6 at Centennial Hall. The airport has not met since our last assembly meeting. Next meeting is the 9th of this month. The chamber meets every Thursday, and this Thursday the agenda will be on the school board will be speaking. The 26th of this month, the chamber is having their retreat. I met with JADC and Travel Juneau and the chamber and the radio center, representatives of those people, and our main topic was how to develop a campaign that will encourage people to look local first, buy in Juneau, come to Juneau for conferences, for meetings, because we have a lot of competition from other places like Amazon and online by. So Richard from the Juneau Radio Center and Dana will be getting together to discuss how they can come up with some kind of campaign that will be acceptable and have guidelines that will be easy to follow on how we can put together a campaign to do encouraging Look Juneau First. It was discussed that the city could put $5,000 a quarter into this campaign. I also went to the annexation meeting, as most of you did, and mining, and tonight went to the JYS open house, which was very, very good. That building's in good condition, and there were a few people came by and got a tour, and that was an interesting thing to do. If you haven't seen it, it would be interesting for you to see it. And that's it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Nan Kurbis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met on January 3rd. We discussed and took some action for annexation, and that issue will be back before the Assembly at a future date. I don't remember that off the top of my head. We have a special Committee of the Whole set for Thursday, January 18th at 2 p.m., and I'm aware there's some Assembly members that won't be able to show for that, and I understand that it's very short notice and it's an odd time, and I met with the manager this morning and said, well, since this is our one shot to sit down with these folks, I would at least like to have some folks, if not all of us, to sit down and meet with Hydro One and the Vista on Thursday at 2 p.m., and I realize some of you can't make it, and I apologize for that. I don't have much control over when they're, well, I have zero control over when they're in town. So I just tried to fit it in to their request and our desire to make that happen. So we will have that happen. We also have our next Committee of the Whole scheduled for January 29th. The tentative agenda, and it's always tentative when we're this far out, what we will have on there are recycle works, snow storage, marijuana update, essential public facilities, the energy strategy, and the Meanderway Riverbank stabilization, if there's enough time. I have a feeling that one of those might not make it if we delve into the energy strategy. It'll take a bunch of time, but optimistic as usual for our COW agendas. That's it for the Committee of the Whole. The Public Safety Task Force met on January 2nd. We reviewed continue to review potential solutions. We had a discussion about that. We also had a nice presentation from Gastineau Human Services staff on their reentry efforts, options, and assessments that are currently taking place. And they are doing some good things, and we were missing three of our task force members, so we did not get as far down the road as I wanted on potential solutions. Our next meeting is Tuesday, January 16th at noon. My hope is to have one or two more meetings and wrap that up and then give a report back to the mayor on that. That is all I have under committee reports. I would like to thank Mr. Keel for throwing the Senate Resolution 361 out there. That's where I was going to go as well. I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to hearing from the staff on the 1%. Temporary 1% sales tax, particularly on the funding schedule on Wednesday. I'd like to note that Mr. Gregory failed to mention how severely we both underdressed for that event last year up at Eagle Crest, and it took me 2 days to warm up again. After that, I tried to look political, and I should have looked ski. that was the wrong way to go. Anyway, that should be another fun event. And lastly, I just noted as we went down the line here that we had a kind of a break over the holidays, and we usually have kind of a break. And some of us were fortunate in that we got to get out of town. And you missed the nice weather when the really nice weather was really, really cold. But it was really, really nice. And what I found myself doing as in the evening going, no meetings. It felt selfish. But I like many of you, the rest of you that were still in town, I think I had all of my immediate family in town. And I've had to stretch my belt out one more notch after this holiday season. But it wasn't really selfish. It was doing stuff that makes you feel good. And I think we all engaged in that over the holidays. And I appreciate that we don't have a whole lot of meeting over the holidays and we get to do that because it gives you a chance to recharge, literally recharge. I've got calories to burn for a long time now. And just feel good and see family. And I hope everybody, not just the assembly here, but everybody out there, got the chance to do the same thing. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. I would like to add, again, the assembly's congratulations to Jeremy Wesky, who was promoted from sergeant to lieutenant today. And I would ask the clerk if she could remind us when the Juneau legislative reception is.
January 17th,
at
5 to 6:30 at Centennial Hall.
And we all have that on our calendars, Mr. Jones?
If you're done, I had a couple of questions.
Sure.
The Committee of the Hall is also scheduled for a meeting on the 31st. Did you have any idea what that's going to take place or not?
Thank you, Mr. Jones. The manager and I talked about that today. What we're tentatively planning on doing, I don't want to reach that far out and say, because we're going to try and line up some board meetings. I believe it is the hospital and Eagle Crest, or the hospital and Harbors.
I believe Docks and Harbors.
Docks and Harbors, the two H's.
I believe it's actually school district and Docks and Harbors.
See, all right. So that's why it's so tentative. I'm not even sure.
I'll email everybody tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then if I could ask Ms. Becker, I think while I was gone in December, there was a joint facilities committee with the school district, I think sometime or shortly before I left. In the packet for tomorrow night's meeting, there's a letter to the committee from Nathan Coffey dated January 5th. And I was just wondering if you could update, was there a meeting in December, and is this memo from Mr. Coffey to the committee sort of the result of that meeting?
Having a meeting tomorrow, yes.
You're having the meeting, the joint committee's meeting tomorrow?
Yeah. No.
The school district's meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, school district's tomorrow, right.
Right, but did you meet in December?
We met, and we could not come to a definitive answer. So they were going to go back, and Mr. Coffey was going to meet with them and set up kind of a system whereby they could tell us exactly what they wanted. And because it's just very confusing what they want, and the assembly, the committee could not come up with something with them, so we sent them back to their committee to discuss some more.
Okay. Have you seen this memo from Nathan Coffey, dated January 5th? It's in the school district packet?
No.
Its last paragraph reads, CBJ staff recommends awarding the phase two work and completing the study at the current fee amount.
Mm-hmm.
CBJ staff will work with Jensen Yorba Lot to incorporate as many of the above desired tasks into phase two. CBJ staff believes this is feasible. That sounded not like they were going back to the school district to figure out what was going to happen. This was a recommendation that they award the additional $20,000+ for additional work. So that's why I was curious. You hadn't mentioned that you guys had met, no. And yet there's this email to the school district tomorrow that the school district will deal with tomorrow.
I think that the way that was worded was not what definitely came out of the committee. But there was enough indication from the committee and from the school board that that's how we wanted them to go and how they wanted to go, but we did not determine that. But I think Mr. Coffey with that group determined that's what they wanted to do. We'll still have to come. We'll have to agree to that.
Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Mayor?
Ms. Bladyshevsky.
I just add one thing since the mention of this possible COW on the 31st. To remind people, there's a Human Resources Committee meeting on the January 30th to interview applicants for the Bartlett Board and the Planning Commission. And I'll ask the public to that there are seats open on both of those boards. The applications are due January 22nd. If anyone listening knows of someone who will be good on the Hospital Board or the Planning Commission, please encourage them to apply. The deadline for that is January 22nd. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bladyshevsky.
And sort of just my last comment. To have the school district in Docks and Harbors on the 31st means it's not a very short meeting, and Mr. Nankervis knows that that's my anniversary, so I may not be a happy camper.
About the meeting?
Yes. My wife is listening. I am not unhappy about my anniversary. I know she's not. She's listening.
To clarify.
Nor would you be if she were not listening.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right. That brings us back to public participation on non-agenda items. Has anybody signed up? Okay, seeing none. There's no executive session. We are adjourned.